Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Our interview today is sponsored by a hidden gem in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by healthcare veterans Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora offers cutting-edge therapies like whole-body cryotherapy, infrared saunas, LED light treatments, and assisted stretching, all designed to relieve pain, reduce stress, and boost recovery. Whether you're an athlete, a busy professional, or simply seeking balance, Alora provides personalized care in a serene setting. Located at 821 C Highway 12 across from Kroger, it's your local destination for modern wellness. Discover more at aloramodernwellness.com. Oklahoma Sooners making their first trip to Starkville, Mississippi, as far as I know, ever. Eddie Radosovich making his first appearance on Thunder and Lightning. Glad to have you on to talk about the Sooners and Eddie. Oklahoma was such an interesting team last year. The first few weeks of the season, they looked almost unbeatable. Middle of the season, they went through a little bit of a lull, even though they only lost two games. End up in the college football playoff. They lose to Alabama. What was Oklahoma last year?
Hey, Brian, I think it was a step in the right direction. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I think that when you go back to the middle of October and OU loses to Ole Miss, there was a lot of questions. I remember doing the post-game podcast that we do here for Soonerscoop.com and wondering, like, okay, are they going to win another game? And or how long is Brent going to be here? So it was a matter of about 14, 15 days, obviously going to Knoxville, coming back, bouncing back, winning at Tennessee, having the bye week, going down to Tuscaloosa, winning that game. That kind of changed the trajectory of everything that Brent Venables is doing in Norman. And I think it's kind of funny. I guess it's kind of ironic looking back on it now. But there were some serious questions. So I think for them to get to double-digit wins, for them to be able to get to the college football playoff, get back to something that I think a lot of Oklahoma fans felt like where Oklahoma should be regularly, that's a different conversation in terms of realistic expectations. But it was massive. It was massive for Oklahoma. And I think, with them just wrapping up spring now, it sets up for even higher expectations going into 2026.
And then when you talk about high expectations, it kind of starts with Mateer, right? He was maybe the best quarterback in college football the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season before he got hurt. After that, he just clearly wasn't the same guy. Was that mainly injury related? Do you think he just was never healthy from that point on? And can we see more of that guy we saw? Who, I mean, if there was a September Heisman, he would have won it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it certainly can get back to the form of what a lot of people thought he was after the first 5 weeks of the season. I guess it's kind of it's kind of dumb on our part to look back and think that was going to happen, that he was going to get to New York City. He did have the injury against Auburn. I think it did play a bigger role in kind of his struggles throughout the season, certainly with accuracy, being able to grip the football. And then it was everything else on the offense, even though it was better than it was the year before. Ben Arbuckle's first year in Norman it didn't meet the quota of expectation that the Oklahoma fan wants. Have to keep in mind, this is a fan base that, not necessarily rolled their eyes at some of the offenses that Lincoln Riley was putting out, but it was like, I remember doing radio shows every week saying, this is not human. This is not realistic what they are doing every week. So yeah. It should be better this season. I think they have to be able to find a way to run the football. They have an offensive line coming back next year that has a lot of experience. I think that's going to help. Obviously, going out, they got a new running backs coach in Dylan McAuliffe. They got a new tight ends coach in Jason Witten. That tight end unit looks night and day different from what they were a year ago. So I think it's everything around him. And then certainly, the conversation with Oklahoma offensively going into this season is going to begin and end with John Mateer, and if he can meet that level expectation. And I think there's a lot of people that feel like he will. Has better wide receivers around him. They went out and got Trell Harris from Virginia. He wasn't able to participate a whole lot during the spring with a little bit of a knee cleanup. And then Parker Livingston and some of the guys that they've been developing here within the program, they feel a lot better about that group going into this season.
What's the spring position battle you kept the closest eye on?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. I think that like with a wide receiver, there were just so many guys that they were out or they were held out at times. So I think that for a lot of people, it feels like even though there was some position battles there at the wide receiver position, it's more of a situation of, well, let's see what they do in August. Let's see what they do in September. And with Oklahoma's beginning of the Oklahoma schedule, it's going to be tough. I mean, you go to Michigan, you go to Georgia, you play Texas in the first five games of the year. You have kind of a sneaky home game against New Mexico. Linebacker was certainly a position of note with, you know, now you're getting into the point where Kobe McKenzie's gone. He's now up at Northwestern. You did get Owen Heineke back. That was a big, massive win for Oklahoma in terms of what was actually going to go into that position group battle. And then you have Kip Lewis, Cole Sullivan coming in from Michigan. You feel pretty good about. I know he turned a lot of heads. A lot of people are excited about his future in Norman. There's not a whole lot of just like outright position battles. I think it's more about the development of depth on the offensive line. Like, who's going to back up somebody like a Jake Michael at center? That was kind of a unique battle. They got brought in a kid named Caleb Nita from Western Kentucky that has a lot of experience. He's kind of battling it right now with a true freshman, Noah Best, out of Midlothian, Texas. You feel pretty good about that starting unit, the first five. It's just more about, like, who's going to be that swing tackle? Do you have somebody that can play left and right? Do you have somebody that can swing guard, play left or right guard? So it was kind of more about that than outright like position battles, which I think is probably good news for Brent Venables and company going into next season.
With Venables, I just feel like you're never going to be too terribly worried about the defense. You know that group is going to be good year in, year out. How good can it be? Can it be the best in the conference?
They have the makings of a group that could be really special. And I think that, you know, last year was obviously a step in the right direction. It was a better defense than Oklahoma had had in years. And it's kind of funny that, you know, you bring Brent in to fix the defense, and then all of a sudden you look over on the other side of the ball, and that's kind of what they're having to get everybody up to speed with if they really want to make a run at a national title or a conference championship. They should be good. I think that frontline group, as we were talking about, they can be better than they were a year ago. You're having to replace a lot on the interior. Grayson Hall was a fourth-round draft pick. Dominic Williams ended up signing as an undrafted free agent. They feel really good about Nigel Smith. They feel really good about Trent Wilson. They kind of bolster things in the middle with Jaden Jackson and David Stone, two guys that, you know, I think the coaching staff feels like could be all-conference, all-American type players this season for Oklahoma. So they have a really, really good defense on that front line. It's just going to be about developing the depth. And I think that was the biggest thing for them last year, is you could look up and they could run 15, 16, 18 guys out there. And it felt like a starting 11. So it's going to be interesting to see how they backbuild. You feel pretty good about that thing going into next year. And like you said, it's kind of funny that, you know, anybody that plays on the defensive side of the ball, even from a recruiting standpoint, if it's evaled by Brent and he feels like you can play in the system, you kind of get a star there. You're going to be okay.
I'd be remiss not to ask you about an Oklahoma transfer to Mississippi State. Of course, last year, Brennan Thompson comes to Mississippi State. He's the leading receiver in the SEC, just got picked in the NFL draft. Zion Ragans, I saw a little bit of him in the spring. He's another speed guy from the Sooners. What kind of production can he be? Can he give Mississippi State if he's given the opportunity?
He was at a point over the last couple years in Norman where you always heard, like, Zion's really making plays out there at the practice field. He just never did it in a game. We always heard about the speed. We never heard about, we never saw it on the field. I thought it was AI. I'm going to be honest. The long touchdown pass reception that he had in the spring game. Yeah. I was like, my God, finally he's making plays. Good kid though. He always seemed like he was one of those guys that was kind of a grinder, was always out there making plays during the practice and during the bowl season at practice. So we'll see. It was kind of cool too to see Brennan Thompson go, and then he got backed up, right? It was like boom, boom, boom. Brennan Thompson, Grayson Halton, and Fibetchi Wiwu from Oklahoma. So it was kind of a cool Oklahoma connection to see those guys go back to back to back in the NFL draft over the past weekend.
This Oklahoma schedule, it's the SEC, so it's going to be challenging. But
yeah,
it looks like you've got the season kind of works around this bye week. For Oklahoma, you're at Georgia, and then there's the game against Texas in the Cotton Bowl. The bye week's in between that. Is it going to be good enough for the Sooners there to be 1-1? Does the one have to be Texas?
There's a lot of people that would probably tell you around here that he needs to beat Texas. Yeah. Hasn't scored a touchdown against them last year. Hasn't had the best of luck. Obviously, the one win that he's had was the unbelievable comeback from Caleb Williams in 2021. There's a lot of people that would tell you it's Texas. I think just knowing the OU Texas game, it would be recommended that he beats Texas. Don't think he's on the hot seat or anything like that, but this is a program that needs to beat Texas. They beat them, you know, for so many years, over the last two decades, they've had pretty good success down at the Cotton Bowl. That needs to move back the other direction. And I think realistically, too, thinking that you're going to go to Athens and win versus going down to Dallas and winning, probably we'll flip your coin and say that you have better odds going down to Dallas and doing it. But yeah, the Oklahoma schedule this season, from like a just a college football standpoint, if you're a football junkie and you wanted to just follow people around or follow a team around,
that's me.
Big house.
Yeah.
Between the Hedges, mm-hmm. Dallas. Coming out to Starkville, see the Cowbills in person. They go to the Swamp. Mm. It's an unbelievable schedule. Very excited about the schedule coming up this season.
Last game of the year for Oklahoma is on November 28th at Missouri. This is the question we're asking everybody who does these previews. What are we going to be talking about Oklahoma on the day after that game?
Ooh, this probably affects me. I can't say anything bad because I don't want to be doing any type of coaching search. That would
you don't want a hot board,
no hot boards. I want to get as far away from hot boards as possible when you throw in the basketball situation down here. Yeah. Realistically, I think this could be a team that gets back into a college football playoff. Now, where they're going to be in the college football playoffs, the grand scheme of things, I don't know, but I do think that they have enough talent there in Norman right now that this is probably like with realistic expectations involved, the best team that Brent Venables will have since he arrived in Norman. And I think that you see an offense that takes the next step. You see a Jon Mateer that returns to form a little bit of what we saw there in the beginning of the season, this past season, and a team that maybe has a little bit more ammo in being able to make a college football semifinal or a quarterfinal when it's all said and done. So I think that that's probably the realistic conversation around Oklahoma going into 2026.
Looking forward to welcoming the Sooners to Starkville in October for the first time ever. Eddie, your first drink in the Cotton District, it's on me.
I can't imagine. And we'll bilateral of that, we'll make Zach Selman pay for all of it. So
okay, now
that would be
so this weekend
that would be fun. I'm excited about it.
This weekend I was out in the left field lounge. I took a day to be a fan and was just out there cooking.
Sure.
And I ran into Zach the day before. I was like, hey, could you finally hook me up with some Selman Brothers barbecue sauce? And he brought me a big jug of it. So
that's awesome.
We'll definitely put Zach on the for the tab for this one. Thanks.
Before I die, I want to get down to a baseball game down there as well. It looks amazing.
Make it happen. We'd be happy to welcome you out there. Eddie Radosevich, Soonerscoop.com, man. Thanks.
Looking
for your
forward
time.
To it.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.